The Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Jeremiah, and that can be found in your pew Bible, page 692 of the Old Testament. The prophet and priest Jeremiah was a part of, as it will be explained from the first part that we read, of verse 32. It explains what was happening at the time. Verse 1 through 3a. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard, in jail, which was in the palace of the king of Judah. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had imprisoned him, saying, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord'?" The king was criticizing Jeremiah for prophesying. Then we go down to verse 6 through 15, where we talk about some of the things that Jeremiah had said. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me. Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalem, your uncle, will come to you and say, 'Buy my field, which is at Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then Hanamel, my cousin, came to me in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, 'Buy my field, which is at Anatoth, in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the Lord's word. And I thought, I bought the field at Anatoth from Hanamel, my cousin, and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. Then I took the scaled deed of purchase containing the terms and conditions and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, son of Maziah, and in the presence of Hanamel, my cousin, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deal of purchase, and the presence of all the Jews who were sitting in the court of the guard. I charged Baruch in their presence, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware vessel, that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again, in the future, be bought in this land.'" The Jews were headed for exile. So that's where we leave Jeremiah.
The words of the Lord. As they say, the reef of today is the island of tomorrow. Our scripture reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Verse 19 to the rest of the chapter. You may stand for the reading of the gospel if you are able. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you receive your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And beside all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone calls to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of the Lord.
There was a woman in her late 50s. Died unexpectedly. And from the other side, she prayed to the Lord, "Please give me my life again so I can go back to the world and finish some unfinished business." And the Lord listened. "So I can go back and to love my neighbor, to pray for those who are hating me, to reconcile with my family, my brothers and my sisters, and to pay my tithe to the church, to you, and to respect my mother and my father." And the list goes on and on and on. And he was given the second chance of her life. The very, very first week of her second life, she dyed her hair. She installed gold teeth on her upper and left jaw. She bought herself some clothes of purple and fine linen and some glistening shoes. Her nails was done professionally. And some wrinkles here and there was removed. And there was a tremendous exercise to some part of her body not to be sown. And the list goes on and on and on. One day she decided, "Why shouldn't I put on everything together?" As she crossed the street to buy herself something to eat, she was hit by a truck. She asked the Lord, "Why?" And the Lord said, "I didn't notice it's you." Let us pray. Almighty Maf,
hawo aho kakai. Koko e pena e topua iho maungahi atamai. Hamua mohai mehelangi. O tofa ge maufon wai. Tohi fo hange hahahau ki ho mau atamai. O ngāhui mua ke kere kere tāu. Ai funga makani. Mau kore ngai me ani. Ke wafau aloko sisu kalaisi. Kā ko mau eki. Amen. Let us go through the story from Luke 16. And there's a question that has been often raised as to whether this story is a parable or not. If by a parable we are thinking of a fictitious tale to illustrate some moral and spiritual lesson, I believe we are right in saying that it is not a parable. On the other hand, if we think of any incident used to illustrate truth as a parabolic, then it is perfectly right to speak of parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The text started with, there was a certain rich man, Dives, which is not a name. It is simply the Latin equivalent of Greek for rich man. Yet, this unnamed man stands out on the pages of the Holy Scriptures as a distinct personality, the representative of many others who live for self and ignore the two great commandments which inculcate love of God and love to man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. He enjoyed the best that best earth could give and had no interest in the things of eternity. And next, we are told of a poor man. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. His name is Lazarus, meaning, God is my help. Apparently, the rich man felt no concern whatever for this poor man who was daily brought to his gate by friends or relatives, with the hope that Lazarus might receive sufficient alms to nourish him and prolong his life. The dogs showed more concern for him than his own kind, who thought only of gratifying their shellfish. Desires. And there's a big change came. They died. Lazarus died and he was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. There's no funeral recorded. Or maybe he was thrown into the continual fires burning in the valley of Hinnom. Or he just be left in the open to be devoured by the hyenas and the jackals, or someone who is sufficiently enough interested to give him a burial. But we see a convoy of angels waiting to conduct the spirit of this poor stricken wretch into the bosom of Abraham, the father of the faithful. As I read this, I was waiting for a day like that. When I die, the angelic host is waiting there singing. waiting to take me there.
As the scripture says, and divers died. We don't know what time, or maybe not long after Lazarus died. And he was buried. Maybe perhaps a great funeral service was held for him. Or maybe there were some hired mourners and every possible honor paid to the lifeless clay that had once housed his selfish spirit. And the Bible says, and he was tormented. And as the story goes, next we learn two remarkable things. We learn that the spirit out of the body are perfectly conscious and able to converse one with another. And the second remarkable thing, that there is recognition in the unseen world. There is recognition of the redeemed in paradise by the lost who are in hell. Even though between the two, there is a great gulf fixed. And as the story goes, the rich man prayed from the wrong side. And he beheld into paradise what he had missed. He didn't ask much, but only a drop of water on the tip of Lazarus' finger. Even that simple request, he was denied. And as he prayed, Abraham replied, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, but thou art tormented. Son, remember." Remember. What a terrible thing memory will be for the unsaved. To remember throughout all eternity every sin committed and unrepented and therefore unforgiven. To remember every opportunity to get right with God which had been carelessly passed by. To remember every gospel message one has ever heard and yet refused to believe. Abraham said, "Remember, between you and us is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." The separation of the saved and the lost is final. One has passed through the gates of death to the unseen. The saved people like us can never lose our blessing and joy. The lost can never attain to blessing and enjoy salvation. The rich man pitifully pleaded for his five brothers still on earth and begged that Lazarus might be sent to them from the dead to warn them so that they might not come to that same place of torment. Think. Let us think. Let us think of the family to which this man belonged. There were six brothers. One was already in hell, and five maybe were on their way. Yet, for all of them, Christ had come to die. They need not have been lost if they had been ready to receive the message of grace. They have Moses,
They have the prophets. Let them, let us hear them. And we have God's word. Read them. Feed from them. Let us heed what we find there, and we believe we will never know the meaning of lost eternity. Surely, no thoughtful person can never read this story seriously without realizing that our Lord Jesus meant us to understand that if we die in our sins, and if we go out of this world loving the things which God hates and hating the things which God loves, we must be separated from Him forever. And the only legitimate deduction, therefore, is that our Lord related this incident to bring clearly before us the importance of being right with God in this world, in order we might enjoy His favor in the world to come. Amen.